Next item, 2020-133A. Found on page 20.
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for motor oil hydraulic transmission fluid chassis grease and gear lube to three vendors. I would like to make an amendment to the request for the department. When I had done the paperwork for this bid, I inadvertently left off budget code 65220 in the amount of $6,000, so the total cap should be $42,000.
Christy, sorry. And I know that we had a conversation on this recently. Yes. But could you repeat that? Because I couldn't hear it, and I can tell from other expressions we can't hear. Okay, I'm sorry.
I need to amend the request from $36,000 to $42,000.
Okay.
I need to include $6,000 from budget code 65220.
65220 is going to be...
$6,000.
Okay.
And the reason that we're asking to award the three vendors is based on the pricing that was submitted. There, I had to reach out to some vendors because one vendor included a per drum environmental fee. The other vendors included it, but I needed to clarify. And item 17 specifically comes out of 65220. That's the DEF for the diesel vehicles. And they were the lowest vendor that offers the tank monitoring and automatic delivery.
So, Christy, this is one that, another one, that I spent a lot of time on and did do some research on. So when you put out the RFP, first of all, who drafted the RFP for this? Was it DPW? Was it purchasing? Who drafted it?
It's done by DPW. This has been a longstanding bid that we've altered to accommodate whatever products that we need. But
and in that RFP, that RFP that was sent out, did it specify in that RFP whether or not the vendors should include the Rhode Island hard to dispose fees on lubes and motor oils? And did it specify that they were to include the 20 cent a gallon on antifreeze in their bid? Did the RFP specifically call for that? Was the answer no? Okay. So out of 1, 2, 3, 6 bidders, only one bidder broke that number out separately. And did the other bidders, when they submitted their bid, did they specify in their bid that their bid, as an example, we'll take the ones that I worked the math on here. So let's take line item 12. It says Mercon transmission fluid. Did Burke and Safety Clean and BWE and Roberts and Wraps, did they specify in their bid that it included those items? Okay. So they didn't see, they didn't put that in their bid, that it included those items. When you called them, they said, oh, yes. You called and asked them if it included that. And they, oh, you emailed. Okay, you emailed them and asked them if their bid included that. And their answer was yes. Okay, but when they bid it, they didn't say, they didn't state that it was a cost. If I bid a job and someone calls and says to me, Ed, by the way, does that include all the gutters on the house? Of course my answer is going to be yes. But if the spec, but Christy, my point, yeah, clarification after the bid was out, after the bid was already done. Clarification was given to the individual vendors. An email was sent to Dennis Burke and said, oh, by the way, does your bid include these items? Yeah, of course they included those items. But my point is, when they submitted their bid, it did not state that their item or their bid included those particular items. And it didn't say that because the specification or the RFP didn't spell it out to include it. So it's a bid that was sent out, and it didn't state you must include these items. And then in addition to that, what I've learned is when these invoices are submitted, maybe I'll look at some previous invoices too, but when these invoices are submitted, it has to be broken down what the cost of the barrel of oil is and what the disposal fee is, or I call it disposal fee, it's not the correct term, for that particular item. That has to be spelled out. I understand that's a law from what I understand. So that is very concerning to me. The fact that after the bid is out, after the bids are opened, that an email is sent to the vendors asking if their price includes this. In one particular example, actually I have two particular examples, to on Total Energy, Ocean State Oil. So their number here for this 55-gallon drum is $495.87. And I believe item 12 is being recommended for safety clean. So safety clean's bid is $548. And after the bid is out and opened, and they receive an email and they're asked, does it include the $22 a barrel? Or in this case, for this particular item, it's a $6.40 keg charge. Does it include that? And their answer is, oh yes, absolutely, it includes that, of course. When I add the keg charge to Total Energy's bid of $495.87, I come up with $517.87 a barrel. But yet, what's being recommended to us is Safety Clean, who they did or they didn't include this $22 or this $6.40, in this case, $6.40 item. They said, oh yes, of course we included it. They are not the low bidder. Because when I add the keg charge into Ocean State Oil onto their $495.87, I come up with $517.87. That is less than $548. So I think conceptually there's a problem with this bid. I think the bid was, again, it's not, the RFP wasn't specific. It didn't state that you are to include these fees. We only can go by after what's discovered, after the bids are submitted and after the bids are opened, that, oh yes, it included it. I don't know if it included it because it wasn't in the bid. And had an email not been sent out, It could have gone either way, except for one company. One company said, we're going to stipulate because we don't. And by the way, the one company that I called the department and asked the department if that was part of the RFP. And the answer to that vendor was, I'm not sure. It did not come from you. It did not. That phone call did not go to you. But I will be happy to discuss that with the director if he would like to know who the phone call went to. But the question here is, the RFP didn't specify something that is very, very important to the bid. And the importance is it's a requirement or it needs to be included in the bid so that we know everybody is bidding on the same thing. Only one bidder specified it didn't include it. And now, when I do the math on that one item, we can take it down to another item too if we'd like. We can get down to item number 13, Sunoco Ultra. Ocean State Oil here happens to be, that's the one bidder, by the way, that listed these things separate. They're at $158 for a barrel. Same product, 80W90. And Dennis Burke is $195. So when I add in that $6.40 thing for the keg, they don't come up cheaper either. Ocean State Oil is $164.40 versus $195 for Fleet. Right? So that keg charge is on that gear oil thing too, right? And even if it were the $22 a barrel, we put the $22 a barrel onto 158, that comes out to 180 versus Dennis K. Burke at 195. But Dennis K. Burke is the one that's being referred to us to approve. I feel that the RFP should have been clearer. All bidders should have been bidding on the same thing, on the same playing field. They shouldn't have had to call and find out, am I supposed to include this or am I not supposed to include that? Because the answer could have varied. I'm not saying it did, but I'm saying the answer could have varied. One answer might have been, you need to include it. Another answer could have been, no, you don't need to. And that's because the RFP wasn't clear. And even if we do add in those numbers on just those two items, I wasn't going to spend another 3 hours going through all of these items. If we do that on those two items, the low bidders that are being suggested to us are not the low bidders. So I'm not going to be able to support this. I will defer to my colleagues for a comment. I am not going to be able to support this for those reasons. The RFP wasn't clear. This bid wasn't something that was on a level playing field, so all bidders were clear as to what they should include and not include. And the recommendations for low bidders, at least in two instances, are not low bidders. So I don't have a lot of confidence in what I'm looking at here for the recommendations, and this needs to be redone. So I'll open it up for comments. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Christy, first of all, thank you for reaching out and emailing them when you saw this discrepancy. That's one of the things that we have been asking for going forward. Did they all include these final prices? Did they all say that was included in their prices? So their price didn't change for what their ones. And so could it be, is that like a standard practice. That's why they just assumed it was included. That's why they included it automatically without doing a additional line item. Another charge wasn't coming after awarding it. So for the other companies, they just put it in their original price. It's almost like a standard, you know, they know. Obviously, we have these disposal fees or whatever the term is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can add additional things. And give some examples of what this motor oil, what trucks and equipment that these are used on. And what do we have for inventory right now? Estimate. Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I'm going to go back to my initial point, but I'm going to give you a different example. In the construction industry, it is a state law, is federal building codes in place, there are state building codes in place that require the contractor to take out a building permit for anything they do, other than a couple of items that are not part of the building permit process. So we all know that. All contractors know that you must take out a building permit when you do a particular job. When I bid a job to regular people, homeowners, I don't include the building permit fee because I don't know what it is until we take it out. When we bid community jobs, state jobs, or other jobs, they will specify in that bid that you must include the building permit fee. So if we have five of us bidding on a particular job, and one of us includes or doesn't include the building permit fee, nobody else specifies. When I bid this job, if I don't specify it includes the building permit fee, and someone calls me up after and says, oh, by the way, Ed, does your bid include the building permit fee? I mean, it doesn't take me a half a second to know that other bids came in and it included the building permit fee, and they might be a little bit cheaper than me if I say no. So, of course, people know certain things are supposed to be part of your bid. I can't give you a clearer example than that. We all know the state law requires you to pull a permit. There is a fee associated to that permit. We do not include the fee of the permit into the job necessarily unless it's stipulated. And furthermore, even if you do take that and say, okay, forget it, we don't care about that, we're just going to assume, you know, everybody's saying, oh yeah, it's included. When you do the math, the numbers don't work. They don't work. I mean, we can sit here and talk about the concept of what should be included, what isn't, whether it was correct to call people after the bid is all said and done and the bids are opened and say, did you include this? Well, did you include that? Or did you include this in your bid? Of course you're going to say yes. The numbers don't work because you add in these things that were not included in this particular bid, and in those two items, they're still coming up as the low bidder. Something is not, the procedure was not correct. The RFP wasn't specific in requiring what they wanted to require in the bid to be included, so it was not equal and fair, and the bid results are not what they're being stated here. So I will not be supporting this. Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank you for the education, the information, and I agree with you. And again, that's the whole point of what we're doing. Secondly, I just have a quick question. Christy, I understand, and I want to put this asterisk out there first. I do realize over 50% of the bids we get is from your department. I'm saying that right from the beginning. More reason why I'm going to ask this question of the department. Are you in the process of working with MIS or within your department on making a worksheet or a spreadsheet to assist you in getting the deadlines? Mm-hmm. So I see that they're color-coded, and that's what the red is for the ones that are coming up shortly, the expiration shortly. I see. How do you feel about, like, you know, because again, I'm bringing this up to kind of back up what the chairman said and keeping it all uniformed. How do you feel about your catching up, if you will? Or, do you think that you... And please, understanding your the size of your department when I ask this, do you feel that you'll ever catch up? Like, do you feel like you'll ever? So I'm not saying that to sound sarcastic. I'm saying it sincerely. Do you feel that with your department and the dynamics, do you feel that there'll be a point where you can say, okay, I'm going to hit that 60-day? Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Christy, as I said, I'm not going to be able to support this. I can't agree with the way the RFP went out. I can't agree with someone who has already bid a job. The bids are open. They're now public. I can't agree with a question being asked, did your bid include this? And then their response is yes. And I can't support a bid that even when you factor in those numbers, that the low bidders are not what is presented to us. So I'm going to make a motion for unfavorable action on this and send this back out for a rebid with the language specific in the RFP, so that when we take a look at numbers, we don't have to be a CPA to figure out who the best price is, or who's including what in their bid. Anything else for me is it's just not fair. So I make a motion for unfavorable action to send this out for a rebid. I need a second.
Seconded.
We have a motion for unfavorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We need a new PCR.
We need
PCR 152-19.
PCR 152-19. Okay, and that was unanimous. Thank you. Item 2020-133B, found on page 26. Chief. We need to do an RFP for new microphones. That's what I think.
Hey, give him mine. All right, thank you. It could be just with the location of the speaker.
Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. I'm assuming I'm going to make a recommendation to withdraw this since the bid is going to go back out for rebid. This is the same bid that we just discussed with DPW. This is just the fire portion of it. We don't have an issue with our item, but if it's going to be rebid, I would have to go out for another bid and make a new recommendation on the new bid.
Yes, your assumption, as far as I'm concerned, is accurate, Chief. You're in the same guidelines. But I do have a question, and I need clarification on that. I am going to make that same motion. But on item 17, diesel exhaust fluid, it shows 2.5 gallon containers. And in Dennis Burke's bid, he's bidding $15.49 a case. And in Roberts Energy, they're bidding $7. Ocean State Oil is bidding $7.49. Wraps is bidding $8.99. How many 2.5 gallon containers in a case?
Two. There are two 2.5 gallon containers in each case.
Okay.
That's the way standard comes standardly. So I would make a recommendation when we rebid that we are very specific about each.
Correct. Because you are recommending Roberts Energy, and in the math formula, they are the cheapest.
Correct.
But I don't know. Are they bidding a case or are they bidding a quart or what? Okay. Make a motion for unfavorable action. Becomes PC. I'm sorry. Any other further questions?
You did say withdraw.
No, I'm sorry. You're going to withdraw?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I'm not making the motion.
Any further questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion at the request of the sponsor. We still have to vote on favorable.
Okay. All right, seconded.
It's going to be PCR 15319.
Okay, so we have PCR 15319. We have a motion for unfavorable action with a request from the sponsor to withdraw, go back off a bid. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Major, do we need to have a conversation on it?
I just wanted to bring to your attention that the vendor that I was recommending was the one vendor that included that disposal fee. So I'll defer to the council as far as taking part in the rebid, if that makes more sense.
This is on page 32, by the way. Yes, I think in the effort of consistency and remaining the same. Wait a minute, excuse me. Did you say... You said that Ocean State.
Yep, total.
You're saying Ocean State included those fees?
Yes. That was the one vendor that did, correct?
So they included that, like, $22 barrel thing?
They did the separate. The 22 was separate. Having taken into account that separate fee and adding it in, I still had them as the lowest bidder on my two items.
So, you know what? I'm going to have to, wait a minute. So you're saying in their $298.87, is that fee, that $55 gallon, that's $22 a drum, that fee is included in the $298 or is not?
No, it would be $320.87 with that additional fee.
See, we're going to have to go back because Safety Clean, they told DPW that, oh, yes, it includes the fees. And if you add the $22 a barrel to Ocean State, they are now higher than Safety Clean.
Okay.
Yep. Any further questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, this will now become PCR 154-19.
Correct.
And I need a motion.
Motion on table on behalf of the sponsor.
Seconded.
So, Major, the motion is going to be at the request of the sponsor. We're going to vote unfavorable action to go back out for a rebid, okay?
Yes, sir.
At the request of the sponsor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. $20,134, found on page 38.
Good evening, Deanna Rourke from the Water Division. The Water Division received five bids for large diameter clamp saddles couplings, and we're recommending the bid be split between five companies. We're recommending the lowest bidder on all items for a total recommended award of $55,000. Items will be ordered on an as-needed basis, and it will be the funding will originate from budget code 84363 and 84364. This is an annual bid, and again, it's items that will be ordered on an as-needed basis. And just to follow up on the earlier presentations, and you know where I'm going to go with it in terms of the two-month notification, if you will, by ordinance. We started the process, and I'm not here to throw anybody under the bus late July, early August. I don't have my bid folder in front of me, but not in retrospect, it should have been started probably 2 to 3 weeks earlier in July from the department's standpoint. So I'm not here to make excuses, but looking at the timetable, that's, you know, in retrospect, that's how it should have been handled too.
So Dan,
yes.
Yeah, and I appreciate, you know,
and I'm being honest about that.
You putting that out there. We've had this conversation before on these bids. So how is it going to change? When is it going to change?
Well, it can change. It will change. You know, I could tell you right now there's two bids that are in purchasing. They're going to expire at the end of the year, the first of the year as we speak. You know, I think our track record's pretty good, but I know we're talking about the present. We're not talking about the future or whatever. So I'm not here to sugarcoat it. So
how does a bid like this, a $55,000 bid, I mean, does that get past everybody, or in your case, in your department, you as the director, and here we are 11 days before the expiration of something that if we don't approve this, then somebody's going to say, well, you know, if we have a water break and we can't fix it because we don't have a pot, it's our fault.
No, I know.
It is not our fault. Your fault.
No, I'm not here to say that otherwise.
So this is another one. I spent a lot of time on this bid because there's a million different breakouts here. And you know that I personally, not just me personally, the committee and the council has not been a proponent of multiple bids. And going through all of your individual items that are spelled out quite well, I might add,
excuse me.
In this case, I can understand your rationale for coming to us for this amount of bids, and I went through every single one.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a big difference on most of these in terms of, so say, Prescott versus Ferguson or versus Tri-Sales. On these recommendations that you made, as I see it, there was a lot of thought and a lot of math and homework that went into this to put this together to make sure that these were bids. There's a couple that are like super close, but I'm not going to nitpick it. But I do have one question on item, it says item 2D on John Hoadley. You're referring for item, referring them or recommending them on item 2D.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I must have looked at it too long because I made a note. I don't see it, but now I see it. Did you change my book?
I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know. All I can tell you is we go through it.
I did not see it yesterday going through those items, but I do see it here now. And for what it's worth, I understand why you're coming in for these multiple vendors. The price discrepancies are pretty significant on these items. I'm not talking like a 20-cent difference. I'm talking some pretty heavy numbers here. So in this particular case, I personally am going to be supporting this bid. Mm-hmm. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions? I'm sorry, Councilwoman Travis. Yes, I'm sorry. I do have that. Thank you, Councilwoman. I have it right down here. Should be PCR 15519. Thank you, Councilwoman. And as we said earlier, the numbers are in the accounts. The money's in the accounts for those. Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we have favorable action on PCR 15519.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Item number 8, radio communication equipment. And that is, sorry, it wasn't on my sheet here. 2020-151 on page 45. Chief?
Chief Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. City of Warwick Fire Department's reviewed bid 2020-151, radio communication equipment service repair and replacement. The city received only one bid response to our request. Therefore, the fire department recommends the bid be awarded to Cyber Communication Solutions out of Warwick, Rhode Island. Cyber Communications has provided reliable service to the fire department's radio communication system for over 20 years. Cyber Communications possesses the technical experience and knowledge of the fire department's radio system that is required to mitigate an emergency equipment failure. Cyber Communications has a repair facility within the city of Warwick and employs enough technicians to be able to respond to our emergency requests in a timely fashion. Cyber Communications is focused on public safety, provides service to over 50 fire departments and 100 police departments. Funding for this service will come from budget 35340, service contracts. The current bid expired on 10-1-19, and if approved, the new bid will have an effective date of 10-2-19 through 10-1-2021 for an amount not to exceed $48,000. That's going to be split up between three different fiscal years because of the timing of the bid. $18,000 will come from fiscal year 20, $24,000 from fiscal year 21, and then $6,000 from fiscal year 22.
From fiscal year 22?
Correct.
Is that what you said?
Correct. It's a two-year bid.
So why do I have on my sheet that this contract period is going to go from October 2nd, which was 5 days ago, to October 1st of 2021?
So that would cover the 7-1-2021 to 10-1-7-21, which is fiscal year 22.
But it doesn't go into 2022. You had said 2022.
Yeah. Fiscal year 2022 starts in July of 21. That'll cover me from July 1st to October 1st.
Okay. I thought you were insinuating October 1st, 2022. Okay. So, Chief, I heard you say that this particular communication vendor services 50, I believe, fire departments and 100 police departments. So this is a pretty significant issue, right? Pretty important.
Correct.
Right.
We're lucky to have them here in the city.
Right. Okay. So we're lucky to have, cyber communications. And it's something that if you didn't have, that it certainly may create an issue, right? Certainly something that the fire department would say, if we vote no on this, the fire department would certainly say, if this happens, if that happens, it's our fault. Because we voted no, right? My point is, this is so significant. 50 fire departments, 100 police departments, it's something that if we vote no on, we're going to be put in the position that if we can't communicate, it's our fault. How is it the fire department comes to us 5 days after the bid expires? This is getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And this is such a significant issue. How is it? Who is in charge of this bid that is so important?
Okay, so the way this worked out since I took over in May is this was one of the first bids that was placed in front of me. I know nothing about radio communications, and neither does anybody else in our administration. It was taken by the superintendent of fire alarm, who retired at the same time that I took over this position. I had to relearn. I had the vendors come in. I had the state come in, who manages the infrastructure for this system, and try to explain to me what we had, what we needed to do to maintain it, and what kind of a bid we need to put out in order to effectively maintain our system for the right amount of money. We were spending a significant amount of money on monthly service fees, which were not necessary. So we did several months, I'd say 4 months, of working with vendors and working with the state, looking at our current communication system, our backup communication system, and then getting a whole bunch of conflicting information from the state as to whether or not there's one vendor that can service their system or multiple vendors that can service the system that we operate on. So we at one point were looking at a exception to bid because we thought cyber communications was the only vendor authorized, and then I got some conflicting information from another vendor. So I put it out to bid just so that I could get some bid responses and see what came back. Once we got the bid responses back, we confirmed there's only one vendor that can bid on this. The state did come back to me and say, no, we only give administrative privileges on our system to cyber communications in Rhode Island. So it took us it was a big, big learning curve for me to try to figure out what to do. I didn't want to put this bid out the way that it was written in the past and then not be able to explain to you why we put those out and why I made those decisions as to how to, what kind of money we're spending here. It's a significant amount of money.
So there was a lot of logistics,
learning.
A lot of moving parts with this, including a learning curve for you.
Correct.
I think we're reasonable people up here, and what would make sense to me, this explanation that you just presented to me tonight, I'm comfortable with that. But we didn't need to do this here. My suggestion to just not yourself, but to all the department heads, if you've got a reason, I'm not talking an excuse, I'm not looking for excuses. If you have a reason, and I think your presentation just now, I think that was a good reason for being here as late as you are. And we have another department head that's coming up a little later, has already spoken to me last week with their reason. I'm fine with that. My suggestion would be to the department heads that if you have what you feel is a good reason, then reach out to us. Send us an email and let us know, hey, listen, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get this done because this. I mean, the new person on the block kind of wears off after time, but all the other reasons that you put out there, I'm okay with that. So that would be my suggestion. We don't need to do this here.
I agree.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
2020-152, snowplow blades, found on page 50. Christy?
This department's requesting to award the bid for snowplow blades to both vendors that submitted a bid, Atlantic Broom Service and Viking, in the amount of $14,000 for a one-year period.
Okay. Christy, you're real good with this one. It's not due till November 28th. No snow has hit the ground yet. I think your presentation is good. I think your amount is reasonable. I don't have any other questions. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? You have a question, Councilman Howe?
I'm just wondering if you're okay. We're good. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Christy. Item 2020-154, found on page 53.
The department is requesting to award the bid for road salt to Mid-American Salt in the amount of $150,000, 1 year from date of award. This bid, traditionally, we piggyback the state bid, and it did expire at the on June 30th. However, there was a new company moving into the Port of Providence last winter, so we went out to bid, and we are saving $5.57 a ton over the state bid.
So, Christy, again, I know we've, you know, approved salt lots of times in the past. So why is this a new bid for the department? Why is this new with this?
Because we went out, we didn't piggyback the state bid this time. We went out to bid on our own.
But it's nothing new.
You chose
to take a more proactive approach and go out for another bid, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to get this clear in my head. So what was the issue with this bid is new to the department?
We generally
pay... The process?
No, we generally piggyback the state bid and pay what they pay per ton. The state's paying $55.44 a ton for this area delivered for road salt. The department went out to bid rather than piggyback the state bid this time, and we are going to, if awarded, pay $49.87 a ton.
And I think that's a good move, and I think that was a good responsible decision. And it's interesting that this comes up tonight, because over the weekend I was talking with several other folks from other communities involved in government, and they are also challenging the MPA bids, and they're challenging it because this has been going on for too long, just kind of saddling on to, you know, that MPA thing. And people are coming to the realization, and we've spoken about this numerous times as well, that we need to test these waters. And, you know, kudos. I'm glad that you did test the waters, because you just came up with a 10% savings. That's a lot of money. You know, look at it at $5 and say, what's the big deal, $5? It's 10%. It's a lot of money. And when you're using $150,000 a year in salt, that's a whole lot of money. And it means we can get more salt for less money. So that's another thing that I know I'm speaking for the committee and the council. We would highly recommend the department heads, before you come to us with an MPA, test the waters. Send it out for bid. It costs you a few dollars to send it out for bid. This was well worth a few dollars. Good job. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to say to the director and to Christy, thank you. I mean, you've talked about this actually last year, and we kind of asked the question, you educated us, but then you said there's no harm in at least trying, so I thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public?
Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you, Christy. 2020-155, gutter and tube type brooms, found on page 56. Christy?
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for gutter and main brooms for the street sweepers in the amount of $10,000 to United Rotary Brush Corporation for a one-year period beginning November 28th.
Again, Christy, you're in good shape as far as the contract date, but, and I know time flies, it seems to me like we just, not that long ago, had a conversation about gutter and tube type brooms.
We did. I asked for an increase on the contract that's currently in place because we had expended just about the whole cap, and we were still out sweeping. So if we needed to buy more brooms, we needed more spending authority, which we haven't had to do to date from that last request. So this is a whole new bid.
Okay. And what are these brooms for again?
The street sweepers.
For all the street sweepers.
Yes.
Okay. And United Rotary is clearly the low bidder on this. Was this, could you have done an MPA on this too?
I think there is one for sweeper parts, but.
But you went out on your own again?
Yes.
Okay, good. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Christy. 2020-156, maintenance and repair for Zamboni resurfacers. And that is found on page 59.
James Scott, Director of Parks and Recreation. I'm making the recommendation that we award the bid to the sole bidder, Farmer Brown, who has a maintenance monopoly on Zambonis in New England.
James, again, the question, why are you so late coming here?
Mr. Chairman, it's capacity building. You know, we took over the department separated from DPW July 1st. A whole lot of bids, most of the bids that we have came due around the same time. And as far as, you know, day-to-day goes, we're oftentimes putting out fires during the day. Sometimes for council members. I dealt with a couple things in parks in the past 5 days that came from council members that we need to support. Going forward, everything's an office tracker. I'm currently working on the wording of bids that are coming up in February and March, the next time we'll have things before you. So it'll be about, you know, 60 days out from that. But this will be the last thing that's close to the deadline or behind it for my department.
So you kind of went over it quick. So repeat what you said about, council people. What did you say with that?
Well, a big part of what we do at the Parks and Rec office is we try to be responsive when people call us. So, you know, if things are vandalized at a park or a park has some things that need to be repaired or looked after, that becomes a priority. Whatever is going on in the day-to-day that we have to be responsive to, that the council and the mayor getting phone calls on, we want to make sure we take care of those things first. And in the meantime, as we've gone through the logistics of the separation, we set up an office tracker. We get reminders a couple months out from the bids. I'm already working on February. So it's just the lateness of this bid came down to capacity building.
Okay, but you're not suggesting, and by the way, you know, we all appreciate a quick response. As a matter of fact, I think we all expect a quick response when we call about problems in the parks with a broken slide or something else that could put our constituents in harm's way. So we do appreciate that, but I just want to be clear in my mind, you're not suggesting that because the members of the city council are calling for, you know, these day-to-day things that they need, that has anything to do with the tardiness of coming before us with a bid?
No, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I'm just saying that I work in a fluid environment where things do pop up they have to respond to, and I've been building my systems and procedures over the first 2 months of the Parks Department.
Mm-hmm. So sure.
I expect to be well ahead of the game with mm-hmm. every bid coming up going forward.
Okay. Fair enough. POTS. There's nothing here for POTS. So this bid had strictly was for labor. Nothing for parts.
I mean, there are some parts involved. So what we can, what we do on a, when we can is we take care of things in house. So highway will sometimes we'll change the oil on the Zamboni, for instance. When we get down to what we use Farmer Brown for, it's the specialized parts, the ice making apparatus that makes the ice, which really, when you have an ice facility, the quality of the ice is your biggest selling point to bring in revenue and rentals. At this point, the Zambonis are a little older. The older one is from 2006. The most recent one is from 2010. They've been used heavily. So I, you know, it's important to have this in place to make sure that the rink can continue operations uninterrupted because it's open 7 days a week, Mr. Chairman.
But do you know if this company is giving you any discount off the list price of the pots, or do you even know what the list price of the pots are?
I don't have the list price of the parts. He has a monopoly on the Zamboni product, so there's literally no other person in New England. He has all six states that we can call to repair a Zamboni.
Okay, so that answers my next question. So unless you, let me ask you a different question. So is there another machine that can make ice besides a Zamboni?
Yes, there is. So in doing my research, I went to a couple different ice rinks. One I went to is one at Burrillville High School, where they use a different product altogether, the Universal. And that one is serviced directly by the company. So they cost about the same as a Zamboni. A new ice maker ranges between $100,000 and $120,000. The electric ones cost a little more. But the Universal is a different product option when we go out to bid on new Zamboni.
Say that again, that last.
Yeah, Universal is another option for an ice maker. So it's basically Universal. Zamboni is the most frequent one. They have the majority of them, but Universal has come into that market.
And is Burrillville happy with the performance of their machine and the maintenance cost of it, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, they're happy with it. They leased theirs. So they about 5 years ago, they got two new ones on a lease-to-buy option. And they're very happy with them. They corner well. They do a good job. He says they're very good machines.
How old is our oldest Zamboni?
Our oldest Zamboni is from 2006, which it's well into the life cycle. When Farmer Brown came down most recently, I had them sort of assess. The 2006 Zamboni doesn't work as well as the 2010 one. And the skaters from work figure skaters and junior hockey tell us it's noticeable. Like it's just lumpy. It's an older machine. Farmer Brown told me that it would cost about $16,500 to get the older Zamboni up to making ice as good as the newer Zamboni. And he doesn't mind doing the work. He likes the business. But he said that we're better off buying a new machine at this point in time. He's not a broker. He doesn't have a financial stake in the new machines.
Okay, so then it sounds as though your intention is when the time comes to replace the Zamboni. It makes me think of a pastry all the time I say the Zamboni. When it comes time to replace this thing, you're looking to go out for, open it up for a different or competitive items.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'd have to be in the capital budget, and I have quotes from both Zamboni and Universal. The Farmer Brown says you can get, basically, like most quotes will come around 100 to 120, but if you take out all the bells and whistles, you can get a bare bones one that'll make good ice for about 85.
Interesting. Okay, any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.